Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Good. Man, so where I'm from, we do a lot of honoring of people. First of all, the worship team. Oh my goodness. Can we just Life Gate Worship? Just amazing. I'm like, you all could just sing and I could just sit down somewhere. Like just hallelujah. So grateful. And then of course Pastor Naroop, and then to Dean Jaderson. It's so funny. I was prepping and I thought, man, what can I say that's profound? So he would have us do these things called 10 and 60s. You would have to run the full court 10 times in 60 seconds. Let's just say, and we did it 10 times. Let's just say he turned us into players, all right? Yeah, he turned us into real college basketball players. But I'm getting emotional thinking about this. So I had this passion to understand scripture. And I struggled because in my context, I didn't have like a Bible school to go to or a Christian university to go to. I didn't know. So anyway, there was this guy preaching on TV and I said, I want to preach like him, whoever this guy is. Ended up being Tony Evans. But anyway, not Tony Evans at all. So let me lower your expectation. I then heard another preacher on TV, and I'm like, I want to preach like him. And this guy was a very popular youth pastor in the city of Chicago. I'm from Joliet, as Dean said. And so I called this pastor. It's probably a church of, I don't know, maybe 10,000 people at the time. He was running a large youth ministry. I called this pastor. Let me just tell you this. If you don't know this, and I'm not, I'm just going to help you. It's really hard to get in contact with the pastor who's pastoring 10,000 people, okay? But I called. I was ignorant. And I said, hey, pastor, I heard your, he picked up the phone. His administrative assistant connected me somehow. I said, hey, pastor, how did you learn to preach? He said, well, I'm called. Like, that's just what I do. And I said, okay, what school did you go to? He said, well, I went to Northwestern. I'm like, okay, I can't go to Northwestern. I don't want to go there because I want to learn Bible. And he said, well, there's an amazing school in Deerfield, Illinois called Trinity. And all he said was, try Trinity. And I said, okay, all right, cool. I'll try Trinity. So I check out Trinity's website. I'm like, oh man, the Bible department is incredible. Let me put an inquiry form. Got a call back. Then I put an inquiry form for the basketball team. And a guy named Dean Jaderson called me. And he said, hey man, got your inquiry form. Why don't you come try out? I tried out. I think I did pretty good that day. Right? Okay, I think I did. And he said, hey, man, I want you to come to Trinity. I'm like, what? Changed the trajectory of my life. And it's just something powerful about being able to connect with people, and people see value. They see potential. They see purpose in you. And so I don't say this just to get any kind of affirmation from Dean. I just say this because I'm just grateful that if God had not given him the grace to open the door for this young man, yes, I'm young, this young man from Joliet, Illinois, I don't know where I would be. So thank you again, Dean. Thank you again, Julie, just for your kindness, your grace, and your love. Can we just celebrate them one more time? Also, I have to give a shout to my wife, 18 years of dealing with me. I'm so grateful for her. She's in the back. Samika is her name. When you see her, please say hello. We'll love to connect with you. And my daughter, Skylar, she's 13. Any tennis players in the house? Any tennis players? I know Mike and Dean and Julie are okay. So she's 13, so I need you Wednesday. I think we have free time. If you can play some tennis with her Wednesday, that would be incredible. All right, all right. And then my son Zachary, they look nothing like this right now. That's an old photo, but it's all good. And then my son Zachary is 10, and he's hanging out as well with the Wilderness, I believe it is. And they're having an amazing time. So I'm just so grateful for them. Well, speaking of life and basketball, I want to share a quick story with you of my first basketball game at Trinity. Are you ready for it? Okay, so I had to sit out a whole semester. And I came on the team. I could play on the team for the spring semester. And so we were playing Tri-State University. Tri-State University. I did not start, okay? Nothing could prepare me for this game. So it's probably, I don't know, I'm probably getting the timing wrong. Probably 10 minutes into the game, coach calls my name. Daddy, get in. I'm like, me? Yes. Okay. I mean, my hands were sweating. My heart was beating fast. As my name was called to get into this game. Now you have to remember, I didn't tell you all this, but my senior year of high school, I was cut from the basketball team. Cut. Oh, sidebar. Okay, so you all need to know we're gonna hang together for the next 4 days. I go on tangents, okay? So just follow me. I'll get back to the point. Dean and the Root will cover me for the rest of the time here, okay? So I got cut my senior year. Now, in this environment that I played in high school, it wasn't that healthy. We could talk about that offline. We won't talk about it right now. So Dean calls my name. Edmund, J. Eddie, get in. I'm like, bet, okay. I was scared. I did not know what to do. Let me tell you something. I get into the game, and I had nothing prepared me for that game. They were running faster than I've ever ran before in my life. I mean, it was crazy, to the point in which I would say probably 3 minutes into that game, I said, Coach, give me one. Take me out of here. Give me one. I'm tired. He was like, what? I could see his face now. It's like, what in the world? It's like 3 minutes into the game. I was so tired. But the reality was, it was something new, something fresh, something that I'd never experienced before. I was nervous, afraid, scared. See, the problem wasn't that I wasn't prepared. The problem was I began to rehearse my past, negative things that happened to me in my past, the negative things that impacted me in my past. And let's just be real this morning. Most of us, if not all of us in this room, struggle with moving into something that God is telling us to do because of maybe some negative experience in our past. Maybe you've had moments in your life where you felt like giving up. Maybe you still wonder, can I be used of God? So today I want to talk to you from a topic called Everyday Superheroes. And we're gonna just kind of have that everyday theme as we walk through our time together. But maybe fear, you know, whispers you're gonna fail. Maybe insecurity says you're not enough. Maybe you feel like you don't measure up. Maybe it feels like too much. Well, enter Moses. Moses is the original superhero. Let's look at Exodus 4 together. Exodus 4. I'll read Exodus 4, 1 through 5, and Exodus 4, 10 through 12, but we'll be looking at Exodus 4, 1 through 17. But let's check this out. Exodus 4, 1 through 5, it says this. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said, what is in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. But Moses said, oh Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. In our scripture from Exodus chapter 4, Moses is not some flawless, confident leader. He's broken. He's scared. He's unsure. His past is messy. He killed a man to protect his people and had run away. His family abandoned him. Moses is carrying wounds. You can't see. Maybe father wounds, or maybe rejection. Maybe shame. Yet God chooses Moses anyway. God looks past his flaws, his mistakes, and says, I'm going to use you. Don't remember anything else. I just want to say this. God is looking to develop and cultivate everyday superheroes. That's what he's trying to do. Every single day, that's what God is trying to do. And you've been called to do that. To be everyday superheroes, no matter who you are. When God calls you, he breathes his power on your natural gifts and uses you for his glory. So the first thing I want to say to you is that God turns your ordinary into extraordinary. That's what he does. God turns your ordinary into extraordinary. If I was in the church that I grew up in, I would say God blows his extra on your ordinary and turns it into extraordinary. If I was in the church that I grew up in, I would say God blows his super on your natural and turns it into supernatural. And you would say, amen. Come on here, somebody. Oh, my goodness. You sound like my church. Anyway, in chapter 3, God gives Moses a huge mission. To lead his people out of slavery. This is 400 years in Egypt. And Moses, like I was when Coach Jaderson called my name at Tri-State University, is terrified. He's scared. He feels small and inadequate. And we pick up in verse 1, Moses asks, and I understand why he's asking this question. What if they don't listen to me, God? Do you know who I am? Do you know my reputation, my resume? What if they say the Lord hasn't appeared to you? Have you ever worried about what they say? What if they laugh at me? What if they say I'm not good enough? What if they say I'm not qualified? What if they say? I have to be honest with you all. I'm going to be real with you all. I've let what they say stop me from stepping into what God has for me at times. What if they say I'm not a good father? Do I just stop being a father? What if they say, man, you're not going to be a good husband because, you know, the statistics say 18 years in, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. I recognize that I have some deficits in my own heart and my own soul, but if I worry about what they say, I will not do the thing that God has told me to do. What if they say I'm not smart enough? What if they say I'm not gifted enough? What if they say, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to be godly? Who do you think you are to be Christ-like as a grandparent? Who do you think you are to be this godly man or woman? What if they say this? And God doesn't leave Moses in doubt. He asked Moses a simple question. What is in your hand? What's in your hand, Moses? Show me, what's in your hand? Moses is like, oh, just a staff, nothing big. Think about that, staff, just a little staff, nothing fancy, nothing extraordinary. But God tells Moses to throw it on the ground. That dry, dusty stick he carried as a shepherd for years onto the ground. He says, throw it. And when Moses obeys, that ordinary staff becomes a snake. Now, I don't know what you all would have done, but I can understand why Moses responds the way that he does. A live snake. Now, how did that happen? I can't tell you scientifically how wood turns into flesh. I don't know. I can't give you a theological formula for how the molecular structure of a staff becomes a reptilian. I don't know. I don't have a diagram for that. I can't tell you that. But what I do know is throughout Scripture, God specializes in taking the natural and doing something powerful with it. It's what the people said at my church when they said, little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. They were right. This isn't just one time God did something miraculous. I'm sure you could talk about a number of times that God did something miraculous in the Bible. Maybe let's call some of the things that God did. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish, the kind of lunch you'd pack for a boy, and he fed thousands with it in John 6. In John 2, he took jars filled with ordinary water and then turned them into the finest wine in John 2. In 1 Samuel 17, he used a shepherd boy with a sling and 5 stones to take down a giant warrior. In 2 Kings 4, he took a jar of oil from a poor widow and made it overflow to meet her need. And he took dust from the ground and breathed life into it. And that's how you and I got here. But that's not how the story ends. He took a dead Jesus and raised them back to life. God has been doing amazing things forever, forever. He takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. Not because of what it is, but because of who he is. I'll probably say this before I end, but let me just say this right now. And that is, at the end of the day, God is the superhero. And he takes our brokenness, our shame, our difficulties, our staff, and he does something miraculous in this broken pot. It's crazy to think about it. So the question is, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? You might say, I'm just a grandparent. I don't have the energy I used to. Anybody out here, give me some energy. I'm so happy I'm at camp because I'm about to sleep all night. After that 7 o'clock session, listen, the way that I'm going to sleep. Anyway, my story's not that exciting. I missed my chance. Maybe that's what you're saying. But don't underestimate what God can do with our ordinary. Maybe your gift is hospitality. Maybe you're called to make someone feel like they belong. Maybe you can pray heaven down for your children or your family. Maybe you have the wisdom and someone younger than you, they desperately need your wisdom, your voice. Maybe your ordinary voice is filled with compassion, and God has called your voice to speak to many. So again, I ask, what's in your hand? May not look like much, but in the hands of a miracle-working God, it's more than enough. God wants to take our ordinary and make it extraordinary for his glory. You see, we have to just own what God has given us. Sometimes God may ask us to take an uncomfortable step. He might say, do something that feels out of the ordinary. But God can take what you have and use it for his glory. Because God says, I've made you. I've developed you. I've cultivated you. I've given you my spirit. And I can do more in you than you can even ask, dream of, or imagine. God takes the ordinary and turns it into extraordinary. Not only that, here's the second point I want to drive home. Everyday superheroes encounter God's signs. Now hold up for a second, because I have to admit that I have a charismatic bent to me, okay? And so I know some are going to be like, wait, what are you saying, Joshua? You're not about to go crazy up in here and make us all, you know, charismatic, raving. No, none of that. So just I know I'm being careful here, okay? So when I say a God sign, I'm not even talking about DMX. DMX has this song in the past, and it's, if you don't know DMX, that's fine. Some of you might know, some of you might not, but just follow me. He has this song called Lord, Give Me a Sign. Now, the thing is, well, we're not talking about that either. What I'm talking about is the thing that can only be done by God's power and by his might for his glory. By God's power and by his might for his glory. God does some miraculous things in this text. Look at this. It says, first, God changes the staff into a snake and then back to a staff. Now, this sign suggests that Pharaoh and his authority are completely under the power of God. Secondly, God changes Moses' hands and makes them leprous. Leprosy, when inflicted in the Bible, is consistently a punishment for pride when an individual is prideful and they think that they have power to be kind of like a god. God shows them that that's not going to happen, as he has this intentionality, or he has this desire to punish Pharaoh for the pride that he is showing. Lastly, God tells Moses to take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. He goes on to say that the water that Moses pours out on dry ground will become blood. Turning water to blood shows God controls the prosperity of Egypt, which was entirely dependent upon the water from the Nile. Now, the reason why God is doing all of this, is this, verse 5. God says that they may believe the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to them. These signs weren't for Moses to say, oh, look at me, I know how to do signs. These signs wasn't for Moses to brag or boast. These signs were given so that God could be glorified. I believe in signs. Again, don't walk out on me. I believe this. I believe that God is still at work today. I don't believe in some disconnected, deistic God, the kind of God who created the universe like a watchmaker and kind of kicked the ball into motion and then walked away, never to be involved again. No, I believe that the God of the Bible is still alive and well today. It's the God I know. I believe in the God who's present. I believe in the God who intervenes, who still speaks, who still moves, who still lives, who still touches ordinary people like me and you and uses them for his glory. I believe that God is active. I believe that he is actively at work in our world. I believe that he's actively at work in you and me, that the God of the universe is still showing up. Actually, when peace touches your soul during a hard time, what is that? That's the God of the universe showing up. When healing touches your heart, what is that? That's the God of the universe showing up. When hope shines through the darkness, what is that? That's something beyond us. It's the God of the universe showing up. God wants us to be channels of his power and love. And maybe God will use your words. Maybe God will use you to show his glory, to show his power, to show his authority, to show his love and his grace to a world that is in desperate, dire need of it. Maybe when your prayers show up, it brings restoration and healing. Why? Because God is still active in the world today, not just out there somewhere, but in you and me. Maybe it's your kindness that God is calling for you to bring to a world that is in need of the kindness of God, that draws people to himself. And what happens is that the God of the universe, who's not out there again, but right here in us, changes your world for his glory, because he wants to get the glory. Oh man. Okay, let me drive this home a little bit more. Remember, in seminary class one day, one of my professors said something. He said, there's always a gap between where you are and where God calls you to be. Always. There's always a gap between where you are and what God calls you to do. Always. I don't know if you've ever felt that deficit before. Maybe you're like, God, I can't do this. I can't do this ministry. I can't serve my family well. I don't know what to do. And there's always this gap that feels like almost impossible to fill. And what I love about that is that's the exact place where God takes up room. God takes up the space. Because the reason why he does this is because he wants to get the glory out of our lives. He doesn't just tell us to do something without giving us the ability to do it. Tony Evans says it like this: God never commands what he doesn't empower. He always gives us the grace to do what we cannot do. Why? Again, so that he might be glorified. Now, I know I've been talking a lot about superheroes in the story and all these things, but again, God wants to be glorified through us. Broken, for sure. In need of help, for sure. Struggling at times, for sure. But here's the deal. Our God never leaves us at a deficit when he calls us. He gives us grace to get it done. And that grace is not for us to say, look at me. That grace is to point the glory back to the one who's given it to us. That's what it's about. So God's signs are for people to believe in him, not me. I understand that if people believe in me, let's just say that I'm going to fail them. And my wife is probably back there saying, amen, somebody. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding, baby. I know you love me. I know you love me. God's signs are always intended to give God the glory. Everyday superheroes experience God turning their ordinary into extraordinary. Everyday superheroes encounter God's signs. And finally, everyday superheroes need a sidekick. Or maybe I should say they get a sidekick. You know, I've recognized in my own life that if I didn't have a community of people around me, that I probably would not be where I am right now. I am only here because God surrounded me with the right people. With the right people. Look at verse 10. Moses says, Lord, I can't speak. That's my version of the Bible. I haven't been a good speaker back then or now. That's why I don't get any invitations to speak anywhere. Anyway, man, I'm struggling, Lord. Wait, you're calling me. You mean me to speak? And God says, let me ask you a question. Who made your mouth? Huh? Yeah, who gave you the ability to have the mouth that you have? Who makes a person mute or deaf or seeing or blind? In essence, God is saying, I created you and the purpose for your life. So go and fulfill your calling. Moses responds back with timidity and fear. And he just said, you know what, God, just go ahead and send someone else. I am not the one. Find somebody else. I'm not good like that. And God said, okay, fine. I'll send you a sidekick. I'll send you Aaron. Everyday superheroes need a sidekick. Let me see. So we have Batman had Robin. Any Batman folks in here? Okay. Woody had Buzz Lightyear. Okay, now, okay. Michael had Scotty. I'm just saying, Michael is the greatest. I'm saying, hold on for a sec. Let me say this. Michael is the greatest, all right? But he did have Scotty. I'm just saying, he had Scotty. And Michael 2.0, that's my second favorite. Kobe had Shaq. I'm just saying. Always, we need sidekicks. And the sidekicks aren't people that we just take advantage of. No, they're the people who pray for us and invest in us and bless us and encourage us. And here's the thing. Maybe, let me say this, maybe you've been called to be that. Maybe God in this season has called you to invest in people and bless people and encourage people and pray for people and move them towards the vision and the call that God has placed on their life. If that's you, I just want to celebrate you because God has placed you here to make someone's world better. Make someone's world better. That's what you've been called to do. So, here's what I want you to hold on to. God wants you to be an everyday superhero. He wants to make you this. Maybe you feel ordinary. Maybe you feel just regular. I think Gen Z, they say mid. I think that's the thing that they say. Maybe you don't have any aura. I think that's another one that they use. I'm still a college student, so I'm going to use their vernacular. I'm helping you out so when you go back, you can use that when you're talking to Gen Z. Maybe you don't have any drip. Maybe that's what it is. I'm having too much fun. I'm sorry. This is not even right. Dean is like, you're not coming back, buddy. Okay. All right. God sends sidekicks your way. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to say yes. And you might feel that deficit. You're like, he's going to turn my ordinary into the extraordinary. He's going to give me a sign. He's going to give me a sidekick. But this still feels overwhelming. I feel like Moses. And I don't have an Aaron. And I hear what you're saying. But I feel still overwhelmed. Let me close with a story I heard a while back. This little boy who was trying to pick up this big rock, and his dad was watching him. His dad being the dad that he is, said, "Son, you can do it. You can actually pick up this rock." And son said, "Dad, I'm trying to pick up this rock, but it's too heavy." Dad said, "Hey, son, you can do it, man. You can do it. You can pick up the rock." Oh, son said, "Dad, I'm trying to do this, but I can't do it because it's too heavy." Dad said, "Son, you can do it. You can pick up this rock." Son said, "Dad, why do you keep saying that I can pick up this rock? I can't do it. It's too heavy." Dad said, "You better be respectful, boy." Son said, "But Dad, I can't do it. It's just way too heavy. Why do you keep saying that I can do it?" Dad said, "Son, I know you can do it, but the reason why you can't do it is because you haven't asked me for help yet. If you were to ask me for help, I can help you do it." Friends, God is saying to us, let's just be real. We can't be the everyday superhero in our own strength. But aren't you glad that we can call on the God who does the impossible, and he gives us the help that we need to be everything that he's calling for us to be? "I can't do it, Dad. I can't do it, God." But here's the amazing thing, that the God who calls all things to be not as though they already were, that God says to us today, "You can. You can do it. You can make it. He will bless you. He will encourage you. And he will help you be the person that God has called you to be. He will turn your ordinary into extraordinary. He will give you signs, again, not for your glory, but to point it back to him. And finally, he will send you a person and people to support you and encourage you and bless you. And he'll do this all for his glory and for his honor. So today, I will encourage you to go and be the person that God is calling for you to be in this season for his glory and for his honor. Can I pray for you? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the gifts that's in this room, the glory that's in this room, the amazing grace that you have bestowed upon us in this room. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be everyday superheroes everywhere that we go. Everywhere that we go, moms and dads, men and women, growing, challenging, building, encouraging, doing things for your glory and for your honor. I pray that, Lord, you would take our ordinary. We give it to you today. And would you, God, turn it into the extraordinary? And then I pray, God, that any signs that are done, Lord God, will always point back to you. And then, Father, I pray that you would help us to be sidekicks in some person's life. And if we're in need of that, Lord, would you just place the right people in our lives to push us and encourage us, to spur us on to love and good deeds? And, Lord, here's what we'll do. We'll give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise that belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.